Do you know how many self-storage facilities there are in the United States? 48,500. We have more storage facilities. Typically, each one of them is between 2.5 and 5 acres than we have Walgreens. Think about how many Walgreens you see. In fact, we have more storage facilities than we have Walgreens and Starbucks combined. In fact, we have more storage facilities than we have Walgreens, Starbucks, and McDonald's combined. And that's not enough. We have more storage facilities than we have Walgreens, Starbucks, McDonald's, and Dollar Trees combined. And there are about 15,000 Dollar Trees, so that was an important one to add in there. But we're still short. So if we combine all of the Walgreens, the Starbucks, the McDonald's, the Dollar Trees, and the Targets, we almost have as many stores as we have storage facilities. There are more than 7 square feet of storage in self-storage facilities for every person in the United States. 7 square feet. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. By 7. For every person in our country. And with almost 90% occupancy, if you don't have a storage unit, somebody's in your space. 1 in 10 households rent a self-storage facility. But it's almost never the apartment dwellers. Only 27% of apartment dwellers need more space. It's the people who have a home. 67% of people who own a single-family dwelling rent additional storage space. You know why? Because the more stuff you have, the more stuff you need to keep. In the early 90s, there was a popular commercial that began with this cute little baby on her blanket in the floor. And the words, "From the day I was born, I began collecting stuff." And then after a lifetime of collecting, getting married and having kids, the question comes as they are in their garage, what are we going to do with all this stuff? And fortunately, in the commercial, Rubbermaid comes to the rescue and made all of their stuff unstuffed, right? And then they're standing in their living room, and what do they say? Hey, we need more stuff. We need more stuff. We Americans have so much stuff that we have turned it into reality TV. Storage wars, hoarders, and now enter KonMari, the popular Netflix show Tidying Up, and the question has become, does this item bring you joy? If not, why do you store it? Now, the problem is not the stuff. The problem is the focus. From the day I was born, I started collecting stuff. Does this item bring me joy? In the parable Jesus told, the rich man asks himself, "What shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. The weather has cooperated. His hard work has paid off. The harvest was a bumper crop. I will do this," he says to himself. "I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns. I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, 'Self, you have plenty now laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" From the day he was born, we can just imagine this rich man started collecting stuff. It brought him joy. So why did God call him a fool? The answer is so important that Jesus gives us the answer twice in this passage. Beware of greed, for a person's life does not consist in that person's possessions. Tonight you die, then these things you've stored up, whose are they going to be? This is how it is for those who store up treasures for themselves. The problem is not that the man was rich. The problem is not that he had a bumper crop. The problem is not that he's going to build bigger barns to keep that crop in. The problem is that he's living for himself. He asks himself, what am I going to do with my crops, my barns, my grain, my goods? His goal in life is to store up enough for who? Himself. The problem is that his goal in life was to store up enough for him. His dream was to get ahead enough so that he could sit back and relax and eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of his days. But that is not God's dream for any of us. You fool, says God. When you die, what good will your life have been? Who will have changed because you lived? What will your legacy be? Are you rich in treasures laid up for yourself? Or are you rich toward God? Now, what does it mean to be rich toward God? That's an odd phrase, isn't it? Rich toward God. It does mean that we take hold of each of our possessions and ask a question. But rather than whether or not that possession brings us joy, the question should be, how can this be used for God? To be rich toward God is to realize that everything we have is from God. Our riches are from God. And everything that brings us joy is a gift, a blessing to be shared. Being rich toward God means dreaming of how the abundance in his barns would help his community when there was a season of drought. Being rich toward God would have meant holding his possessions and asking, does this bring me joy? And finding that the answer is not all about me, that the joy comes in sharing, in relationships, in giving. Be aware, says Jesus. Watch out. The worth of your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. It lies in being rich toward God. May we all consider our barns and how they are being used for God. Amen. Are there prayer concerns this morning in the Farmington family? Oh, John.
Yeah, I'm a training partner at 87, riding his bike on the Green Line. Got hit by a car, got multiple fractures in both arms.
Dave Seaton?
Sitton.
Friend of John's, Dave Sitton, got hit by a car while riding his bicycle. Yes, Ruth. Yeah. Let us turn now to God in prayer. God of both saints and fools, you indeed are generous and continue to bless us day by day. We give you thanks that you uphold your children by your immense and dependable love. We come before you today grieving as a people for those who have been murdered this week. And grieving because mass murders are being committed every week in our nation, every day. On this 216th day of 2019, we mark the 250th mass murder. How long, O Lord, is our cry? And surely is yours as well. Convict our hardened hearts and our dug-in positions. Bring us to conversation. Guide us with your wisdom. And then grant our leaders courage and determination and strength to make the changes necessary for our way of life not to be one of waking daily to the news of 35 people shot in under a minute. We pray for those who have lost their lives, for those who have experienced the trauma of being present, for those who have lost loved ones, and for those who are angry and unbalanced enough to commit these atrocities. Lord, we pray for our nation and for ourselves. May we not become calloused to this. May we have hope that something can change. Bless all compassion and overcome all violence, O Lord. Bless all forgiveness and overcome all bitterness. Bless all enlightenment and overcome all ignorance. Bless all faith and overcome all anxiety. Bless all hope and overcome all despair. We pray too this morning for those who are facing health crises, especially for John's friend Dave Sitton, for those who have been diagnosed with disease, those who live with chronic illness, those whose earthly lives are at dusk, and those who mourn. Bless all health, O God, and overcome all fear, granting assurance in the resurrection and sure and certain hope that death has been defeated. God of saints and also of fools, save your children from everything that diverts and corrupts, and saturate us in the truth of Christ Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen.